Today's title to the sermon is Pieces. If you know my dad, or have been around him or here, you know that his most favorite restaurant is Chick-fil-A. Unfortunately, we don't have one here in Burlington, which is probably really good for their finances, but I know exactly where the Chick-fil-A is, the closest Chick-fil-A in Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, Peoria, Quad Cities, Nashville, Atlanta, Virginia Beach, because if we go through a city and stop, we're looking for a Chick-fil-A. So, knowing all this, let's just say that me and my dad were going to Iowa City, and we were going to be stopping just to grab something quick to eat. I could safely assume and expect that we're going to Chick-fil-A. Everybody agree? Especially the youth group knows this. So you can imagine my surprise when we're there and he says, let's just run through McDonald's real quick. Okay, I would be shocked. He has that line of God does not fall off his throne. He probably just fell off his throne. I think this happens a lot in our lives. We have this expectation of where we're going, but it's not what happens. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. We have this picture of where we're going, but then we have these pieces in front of us. I kind of brought a little bit of an illustration, so I'm going to move a few things around. This, in this box, is a bookshelf. Let me see if this will work. This bookshelf, which I think, Brian, you can put the picture up. This is what it's supposed to look like, but this is what it looks now. Thanks, Dad. All these pieces. We have this vision of where and what we think he wants us to be. But these pieces don't look like this picture, does it? Not yet, anyways. They don't match. It's nothing compared to what we thought he was telling us, or the dreams and visions he's shown us. Reality falls short of our expectation. This is where we feel the tension in our lives. We give it to ourselves. There is always this tension of what you see and where you're at and what you are doing. This last week, I heard these two lines that has just resonated within me and the rest of the week. God is not committed to your dream. He is committed to his purpose for your life. I'm going to say that one more time. God is not committed to your dream. He is committed to his purpose for your life. Some of us spend our lives chasing after worldly things. Things that get us noticed for all the wrong reasons. We work hard enough, we can have those things, absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that. But God is not interested, and he will not bless your worldly dreams. He wants to bless your heavenly purpose. Ecclesiastes 3, in verse 1, we're going to read it here. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. You see, timing is important. Seasons come and they go. One of the secrets to peace is to accept and appreciate God's perfect timing. The danger is to doubt or resent God's timing. This can lead to despair or moving ahead without his advice. What we do in this season will determine the next season in our life. Life is built on seasons. Regardless of what people feel or think about winter, no, it is still coming. We still have to go through it. We don't get to pick the seasons, but we do have to go through them. Winter is a time when things get to rest and the old things fall away or die, and it allows for new things in its next season. Everything in life has a process, just like the new highway they're putting out. We've been watching this every week as we come out to church. First, it was clearing the trees and the houses and the buildings. Then it was moving and shuffling dirt and letting it settle. Then it was rock. Now it's cement. And finally, it's finishing touches in the connections. There's such a big gap of where we're at and where God has called us to be. We all struggle because we know ourselves. We know what we're thinking and what we do when we're not on church on Sunday. We like to blame others of how we were raised or what has happened to us. We like to judge because we think we have it a little more together than someone else. But we are not the final judge. We are not meant to give condemnation or to live in condemnation. That it's not how it's supposed to be. It's what we do with these pieces that will determine the final picture. So all these pieces will make up this picture. This little bag is never my favorite thing. It always tells you how many steps you're going to have. All the little screws and pegs. And the kingdom of God is a process, not a microwave. The pieces don't look like the picture, and the steps don't look like the setup. We always want to know what God is up to. I am very guilty of this. What next year, what the 5 years, what 10 years will look like. What if we just trusted the piece in our hand right now? I'm a controller. This has been difficult. It is still very difficult for me. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. I don't know what he's doing, why he wants me to do that, why he thinks I can even do that, why he says, let go of the picture and trust the piece. Then you can experience real joy. How can I experience real peace and joy when I don't know what you're even doing? You're clearly drinking the wrong Kool-Aid. I've been reading this book, and this one section in particular, I've read it several times now. It talks about how God kind of gives us this snapshot. Maybe it's a dream, maybe it's a vision of what kind of what his purpose is for our life. We kind of see this in action. We get really excited about it. And there's three things we can do. The first one is we can do absolutely nothing with it because it scares us. We see the picture and we try to figure out exactly how we think we're getting there and we start to do our plan. Or three, we create an expectation and a humbleness in our lives to say, God, I don't know how you're getting me from here to there, and I just have this piece, this little piece. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to let go of the picture, and I'm just going to hold the piece. I'm going to try to work with this piece. I think a lot of us are guilty of saying, I'm expecting God to move, but he's never left. He's not gone anywhere. So exactly what are we expecting? In 1 Kings 19:12, it says, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. We look for him in the big events, but he's found in the whisper. To look for God in something big may be to miss him, because he's oftentimes gently whispering in the quietness of a humbled heart. Are we listening for God? Are we taking a step back and trying to listen humbly and quietly for guidance? It may come when you least expect it. I'm not sure about you, but he's been gently showing me and correcting me that I oftentimes talk to him quite a bit, but do I stop and let him respond? Do I sit quietly and listen to what he has to say? Am I truly trying to listen, or am I just doing it because that's what the Bible says, that's what the preacher says, and I can check it off my list, spent time with God? But you see, the relationship is the whisper is a conversation. It's fun to have a relationship with earthquakes and fire because they're big events. They're loud, they're fun. We feel something in those a lot of times. But the whisper requires work. It requires a relationship. It requires rest. That one's a very difficult one for me. It requires humbleness, a lot of times asking for forgiveness. Think about the human relationships that we have. To have a relationship with God also requires sacrifice. Are we communicating or just complaining? Are we trying and wanting to converse with him, or just something to do to check it off our list? We take time to pray, but what do our prayers look like? Are we just giving him our wish list? Do we treat him like a suggestion box? That was pretty good, but if you would do this, I would do this. Or if you would do this, I could do this. You can do better. You can't have a relationship with earthquakes and fires. They might make you feel good on Sunday or whatever day of the week, but they usually don't last until Tuesday or Wednesday. The big events are short-lived. Sometimes we come expecting earthquakes and fire in this building. I know I have. What if we came expecting a gentle, calming whisper instead? What if we stopped? There are a lot of us expecting something, but what exactly are you expecting? I think he's waiting to see how we handle the pieces. Several months ago, I was putting this desk and hutch together, and I was following the directions because I wanted to stand up on its own. I wanted it to look right. So I'm following the directions, and I get to about the middle of the instruction booklet, and there's like two or three blank pages. The problem was that the step before the blank pages and the step after the blank pages did not match. They did not coincide. They were not numerical. It was like 12 and 15, steps 12 and 15. And so I immediately was like, started to freak out a little bit, because I looked at the next step that was after the blank pages, and I was trying to figure out if I could make sense of what I had already done to what that had looked like, and if I could figure it out. And I was like, I'm going to get to the end and put on a door or a drawer, and it's going to be backwards, and nothing's going to match. So I'm like, I can't do that. So I took a step back, and I grabbed the computer, and I was able to Google the instruction book and find exactly those steps that I was missing and keep going till I'd gotten into the next set of steps in my booklet. See, life isn't fair. Sometimes our instruction manual doesn't look like the person next to ours. Sometimes we're handed a set of instructions that make us dig a little bit. I had to do a little bit of work. I'd already bought the piece. The instructions should have been in there. Sometimes we're handed a set of instructions that the picture doesn't look as cool as the person next to ours. All these pieces, it's only building a shelf, nothing fancy. But what if what we thought was the final picture wasn't at all what he meant? We're so focused on what we're missing that we miss it all together. I could have messed up the entire desk. Like I said, what I thought was complete, by the time I got to the end, I would have had something backwards, I'm sure. I would have messed something up. It would have made me very frustrated. This year has not gone according to plan at all. We have all been there. We have taken a virus that is killing hundreds and thousands and made it political. I went from loving my job, knowing exactly what I'd be doing every day, to not knowing anything, where I would be at, if I would get sick, if I would pass it on to the people I love, and what that would look like. Some of us got laid off for weeks or months. Some of us, our work lives got that much crazier. What used to be our norm is no longer even visible. All of our lives have shifted. Everyone's life has shifted. But in this season, did we take advantage of stopping? I have noticed how this virus has taken away all of our empathy. We now have more opinions and viewpoints than ever, and everyone thinks they're right. Do you know how many people have said to me that this virus will be gone by November? Do you know what it takes to take care of a patient that has COVID? Do you know what it feels like to know that before you check your app the next day, that there's been another death or two, and you've been trying desperately to save them because they have kids at home? I'm not talking politics and opinions. Please hear me. I have totally gotten out, but I still work in a hospital where I still get to deal with this. I see it firsthand. I'm talking to our empathy. If you just thought it probably wasn't COVID that killed them, you're missing the point. Someone just died. Where has our empathy gone? I'm gonna stop there. That's a soapbox of mine. It's the small pieces that make the big picture. I want to look at some of the pieces in the Bible that were used. Moses and a staff is a piece that God used to split the Red Sea. David with his slingshot and rocks is a piece that God used to kill Goliath. Joshua in his horns, a piece that God used to collapse the walls of Jericho. 5 loaves and 2 fish were a piece that Jesus used to feed a crowd of over 5,000. Like I've said earlier, the kingdom of God is a process, not a microwave. We want God to show us what the next year will look like, but he just wants us to trust the piece in our hands. David doesn't become anointed king, and the next day is the king. It was 15 to 20 years. The small pieces are creating a bigger picture in our lives. Proverbs 16:19 says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." I don't know about you, but if God told you everything you would do in your life, would you do it? Would you, I know I'd freak out probably. I would easily freak out. Some of you just thought, and I have had this feeling too, or this thought too, that if he would just tell me, then I would know, and I wouldn't have to guess. I wouldn't have to go through the process, I could just know. But the problem is we'd also self-sabotage. Logic, which is a defense mechanism, says, I don't know if I can do that. Can I trust and have that much faith? Most of us in here have probably experienced this one. God gives you a word, however he does, through someone, through a song, whatever. And then we start to question everything. logic kicks in and we question and we doubt, and was that really God? Because it's going to require me to do something, or it's going to require a little bit more faith than I think I have. It's going to require me to trust the piece instead of the picture, because I have this picture, but that piece doesn't quite fit the picture, but his word is kind of the piece. And faith will trump logic if we let it, if we calm the voice. Even if we doubt, we have to choose to step out into obedience and trust him. Doubt is part of the faith journey. If we didn't need him, why would we even need God if we knew what was going to happen? We wouldn't need him. People will question your life, your ability, what you're doing, but does it matter if God told you? I also want to look at if the sanctuary was empty and there was nothing in here but this bookshelf, it would look pretty ridiculous, right? This huge room with only a bookshelf. What's the point of it? And it's not even something spectacular, it's just a bookshelf. What if we brought all of our pieces together? What does my bookshelf with your desk and chairs start to look like? It starts to look complete. It starts to look like a set. When I was telling you the story of me building that desk, when the instruction booklet went blank, there were a lot of times that a second set of hands was a tremendous help. Because you gotta put two pieces together, and you gotta put screws in and pegs in, you gotta line it all up, and you gotta turn them all at the same time, and you gotta do all this stuff to get it to work right. What if we brought our pieces together? Your piece and your neighbor's piece might not be the same. This is a journey, and we're all at different stages. In Matthew 4:18 through 22, it says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he," speaking of Jesus, "saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." So Jesus is calling his disciples here. Most of these guys don't know each other or know each other very well. But you know, through their efforts, the gospel was spread through the entire world. They brought their piece and said, "Here you go." It didn't matter if it looked foolish to others, because they were mocked and made fun of probably the rest of their lives. The only thing that mattered was that they used the piece that was in their hand. That was the only thing Jesus asked of them. Come with me, leave everything else. Do you think if the disciples knew what was to come, that in the next 3 years Jesus would die on a cross, most of them would be persecuted to the point of death? Do you think they would have kept going? Do you think they would have left their comfortability? What they always knew to follow Jesus? What made them keep going once Jesus was gone? Because those 3 years was the process. It was their instruction booklet. Those 3 years gave them the steps they needed to continue with their pieces. In those 3 years, they learned how to use those pieces. You see, the piece in our hand is progress towards the big picture. The small pieces create the big picture. We throw pieces away, seasons of character, of testing of faith that we don't think we need, but we don't see the big picture. He wants to develop something in us in this season with this piece. I don't know what piece you have in your hand. It's not my business. I'm not sure if you're looking at the final picture and are frustrated because the pieces don't match the picture. They don't seem to work. Where is everything else? I don't know if you're asking God to take it away and start over because it's getting too hard and challenging. What I do know is that if we don't use this piece right now, we can't get to the next piece. You guys can stand with me. All these pieces do no good without all the steps and the process to get to the final picture. Just like the picture on the box does no good without all the pieces and making the mess something like the picture. Some of us might be thinking, my mess didn't come with instruction booklet. It did. It's right here. The pieces cannot do anything without people willing to go through the process, willing to go step by step and trusting the piece in their hands. We don't get a dream of becoming king and next day be king. It's a process. God has the process, but it's our choice to use it. If no one chooses a relationship with him, all we'll have is this pile. This pile is no good if we don't follow the steps and make it something. We have to have a relationship and allow him to use us. Then we can build something that not only will use, but generations to come. Let me pray. All right, let me pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you what you're doing. I thank you for this season. And Father, I ask that as we go through this week, that we would look at our pieces in the picture a little bit differently. Father, that we would stop and ask you how to use this piece, how to go through the instruction booklet, how even though we don't understand you're working everything out, that it's a process. Father, give us faith and courage and strength and a humbleness and a quietness to stop and listen. Father, we don't have all the answers. We don't know what that final picture looks like. But we can trust you. We can let go of control. We have that choice. Father, we thank you that you are a good God and that you love us and that you're gracious and you're quick to forgive us when we mess up, when we try to jump ahead and figure it out on our own. Father, I just ask that as we go through this week that you would show us more of you, that we'd find those little sweet, quiet moments, that we would listen for the whisper and not the earthquakes and the fire. Father, we just bless everyone in here and keep everyone safe and healthy, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alicia. I just want to encourage you, if you don't know what your piece is, you don't know what's in your hand, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you this week and reveal that to you, because everybody has something to bring to the table. Amen. All right, go have a blessed week in the Lord.